If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
You know, I was filling our calendar out today, and dude, how many fucking vacations do you have, Sal?
Who, me?
Yeah, dude.
Sal's like a vagabond.
We just went full time, like, what, 2 weeks ago? And then this guy is like, oh, hey, make sure you guys calendar this.
Oh, yeah, this date out and then this week. Yeah. And
I'm just trying to stay ahead, but, you know, make sure everybody knows ahead of time. No, you know what I'm doing? So check this out.
Where are you going?
You know what I'm excited about? So I'm going on a road trip with my girlfriend from the 2nd to the 12th, I think, right? So about 10 days. That's not a crazy amount of time. But anyway, I'm excited because we have maps anywhere. We have a workout program that I can use on the road because it's a road trip. We're going from here all the way up to Spokane, and I'm not going to have access to too many gyms. So I'm going to completely do maps anywhere the whole way up.
Well, this is something that I think that probably the most feedback I got from Maps Anywhere. When we launched that, we originally launched it with the intentions of, okay, we talk a lot of shit about, like, you know, insanity and all these, like, fucking at-home programs.
All these workouts that are
terribly programmed, right? So we're like, okay, anytime that we do shit like that, we feel it's important that we obviously fucking deliver on, okay, how would we do it if we were going to create an at-home program? So I kind of felt like that was the genre that we were trying to capture. But really, I've gotten more feedback from the people that already have other maps programs, but they love to use it for that. Like with their,
it's like the accessory that they bring with them anywhere. So it's so helpful. It's more of a tool that, like, you can integrate in with any of our maps program.
Well, I've already incorporated some of the movements on there and some of the program that we put together, and I've only improved my performance in my gym workouts. So I'm excited because I'm going to have basically 10 days of no gym equipment, very minimal gym equipment, and I'm going to be incorporating a lot of the concepts that we have in Maps Anywhere. Maps Anywhere is a fully programmed, no gym required workout system, video demos, blueprints. It's complete with everything you need. You just get the program, you follow it. You need no equipment or very minimal equipment, like bands and maybe a stick, and you're set. You can find it at mindpumpmedia.com. It's also under $100. It's one of our least expensive programs.
Yep.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I feel like that's got to be the creepiest, like... That's got to be the creepiest compliment you could give a girl.
Like, she's a pretty mouth.
Like, hey, like,
you got a pretty.
Part of me.
It's not just that you're doing the tongue thing; it's that you're sucking back as you're doing it.
Part of me. You have a very pretty mouth.
I'm gonna compliment somebody like that today. Just see how they react.
Have a pretty mouth.
Like, hey,
you know something? Can I stop you for a second?
Yeah.
Wow, your lips are beautiful.
Yeah. No, you have to say mouth.
No, that
mouth.
Didn't sound that bad.
Yeah.
That's right. pretty mouth. Because
then she start wanting to make out with you.
Well, I think that's it. That would be a normal compliment, right? To say something like that.
Nice lips.
Mouth sounds weird.
Damn. Yeah, like,
I can't even be dirty when I try.
Yeah, right, dude. you're an awful.
I tell you what, if you're really the fucking champion, this is what you do.
Yeah.
Go up to a girl and compliment, like, something like her molars. Be like, can you open your mouth? Like,
what?
I like your molars. They're really nice.
You're just like a weird serial killer.
Yeah, just something weird. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yo, I don't know if we're gonna go to Sal for pickup lines. We're gonna do the intro for our Jake Shields, right?
We just had Jake Shields in the studio.
So Jake Shields was here.
We're pumped.
And we just had we just interviewed him. So the episode you're about to listen to is one of we consider the greatest mixed martial artist of all time. This guy's
a legend.
He's a legend. He's fought who's who in MMA and won most of his fights.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is a badass.
He has an art that he's created, right?
American Jiu-Jitsu is his thing, and it's like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, except he said more aggressive, I guess more top.
No gi.
Heavy.
No gi.
A lot of no gi type of stuff.
Yeah.
So we talked to him about his fights, about training, about his diet. The guy's a vegetarian, which I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Lifelong.
That was interesting.
Lifelong, though.
Yeah.
He was born that way.
I have to say, one of the things I appreciate, though, being somebody who's a lifelong vegetarian, he's not like one of those fanatical vegetarians.
He's not preachy.
Yeah, he's not all preachy.
I was waiting for
it. We had to pull that out of him.
Yeah.
And even when he talked about it, he's like, you know, I can't say what it's like to not be one, so I can't say it's so much better than somebody who eats meat. So he had a very non-biased way of talking about it that I enjoyed, which I was a little worried about.
One thing I always love about meeting fighters, especially fighters that are not huge guys, because he's an average size guy, but you look at him, and if you didn't know any better, besides his cauliflower and everything, you know, ear, and he's just walking down the street, you'd think, normal dude. You would have no idea that he could kick the crap out of you like and your friends.
Strangle the life out of you.
Out of you and your friends.
Right.
Like, bring your friends. He's going to kick your ass. Yeah. If you want to find Jake Shields, I think we should plug some of his social media, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, for sure. Oh, because he got hacked. He had lost all his followers
on Instagram. So go on there and follow him.
We need you guys to go follow him. Yeah.
You can find him at Jake Shields on Instagram. You can find him. His website is jakeshields.com. And his Twitter is Jake Shields. What is that? AJJ?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're about to listen to an episode where we interview the great mixed martial art and jiu-jitsu legend, Jake Shields.
Yeah.
How do headphones fit with cauliflower ear?
Actually, these ones are fine because they're the big ones. Some of like the little ones that go in the ear don't fit in so good.
They don't go in the ear
like
at
little
all.
Ones that you try putting in, like, they suck.
It just doesn't work.
These are big, so they go over the ear, so it's not a problem.
Yeah, so it's all good. It's
the way to go. That's like a good. That's a great way of marketing to athletes. I never even thought about that. Right? Like
they should. Yeah.
Headphones to for
fighters,
grapplers,
fighters and wrestlers. Yeah. Yeah. They don't mess with your cauliflower.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't have. I've never been able to wear earbuds. It's just my ear canal is just fucking weird because they fall out. It's the most annoying.
You have. That's what happens to me. I can't wear them. I don't know if it's because of cauliflower ear or my ears aren't designed.
Yeah, and I don't have any of that, but my canals are just weird. So when I put that, I have to wedge them in, and then the slightest bit of movement, they pop right out.
The thing is, Adam, your holes are loose.
Yeah. He has loose holes.
Got stretched out.
Yeah, they're loose, and so you need
to come down with those Q-tips.
We got to get you the big.
My girl says
ones.
I'm like a good pair of old jeans, dude. I'm worn in like that. That's what she's saying.
Comfortable.
Try to put a positive spin on that.
You got holes.
Yeah.
So Jake, you got a school up in San Francisco, right? That you teach.
I teach a little bit at Gilman as a gym. I had a school at Berkeley for a while, but I like to be able to travel and be able to do what I want. So I kind of gave that up. It was fun, but it was a lot of work for not a ton of money. I realize it's easier ways to make money, and I like having freedom to take off when I want.
Yeah, what's the business? What's the business of being a fighter? How does that work for you?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you get paid.
There's lots of business. Yeah, and I mean, fighting's obvious, and then sponsors, and now I mean, investments, you know, started a small business, started to help launch Kimura Coffee, which is the coffee company, which is doing pretty well. We're taking off with the... mixed in with the tropics.
We're excited about it.
Yeah, we love it. I've been having it every single morning.
No, I'm glad you guys tried it. I mean, that's how I connected with you guys.
Yeah.
That's something we started last year, and it's nice. I shot off in the business end, too, because fighting, it's not that it's bad money, but you gotta think long-term in other ways for your future.
Well, right. You can't keep fighting forever. That's the thing.
No, let's start by talking about this a little bit, because I know that about you, and I've done my homework on you, and I know that you're business-minded, and not a lot of athletes.
Right.
And so I got in the competing world, so I went into men's physique. I'm an IFBB pro, and everyone in like your viewers think that you just become a pro and then all of a sudden the money comes falling in, and like that's so they have this their goal, but that's as far as their goal goes. Like, I'm just gonna become an MMA fighter, I'm just gonna become a pro, and then it just happens, right?
Yeah, they don't realize you have to. It gives you an opportunity to make connections, make money, but you still got to go out and shoot the money. You know, like we get some decent paydays, but it's you got to look for the sponsors, you got to think of business ends, you got to make connections, you know, and it is a lot easier to meet people when you're a little bit known. It's a lot easier to make those connections, but you still got to go out and do some things.
So the life of a fighter seems like a very difficult one, I would say. What's it like, you know, training? And I mean, what does a typical day look like when you're
it's difficult and not. It's one of those things. At times it can be really stressful and hard, and other times it's not that bad. When it's fight camp, it gets pretty miserable because we're just grinding.
Lockdown.
Yeah, and lockdown, you gotta make sure you're sleeping good, eating good. So it can be, plus there's that's when you're doing all the media, the stress of the fight. It gets pretty stressful the month before, but the rest of the time it's pretty easy.
How much do you hate like the before the fight, the hype of it, and like having to talk shit and like really sell the fight and all that?
Yeah, it kind of sucks because you're all stressed out from the fight, you're exhausted from training, and then you're having to try to sell the fight. It's that's all the stress comes on before the fight.
Yeah, I would say, is it safe to say that a lot of that before fight, like, oh, you know, fuck him, and okay, that's a lot of that's just kind of selling the fight, it seems.
It depends. You know, sometimes you really don't like someone. A lot of times you're trying to sell fight. You know, you got like Conor McGregor talks a lot of shit, he's just trying to sell the fight, but occasionally you get guys that you really don't like, and you're like, oh, fuck this guy.
Yeah. You know what, let's talk.
How often
victory is awesome, though, right?
Oh yeah, it's a lot better that way.
Yeah,
yeah. Let's talk about him for a second because he's an excellent publicist, right? Mm-hmm. He comes out there, he's very flamboyant, very says a lot of stuff.
He's got a mouthpiece.
And do you think, because he went in when he fought Nate, he was the favorite, right?
Yeah.
He was favored.
Yeah, big favored.
Big favored.
I won money on that fight, luckily.
And he got his butt kicked pretty decisively. I mean, it wasn't mm-hmm. really one side. It wasn't, like back and forth at all. Do you think some of that weighs on the fact that he's more favored because he tends to come out and be loud, or?
Well, you put a lot of pressure on yourself doing that. I think part of it, he was just, he is a very talented fighter, but I think he got a little overhyped because he was talking so much crap and people didn't really follow the sport. And they kind of forgot like how good Nate was and what Nate's done in his career and who he's fought. And I think it was just, Conor was fighting a better opponent.
Why do you think guys like Nate and even his brother Nick tend to get... it feels like they tend to not get the credit that they deserve with their skill, because when you watch them fight and you see the guys that they fought,
yeah.
I mean, they're...
they've been in the game a long time.
Yeah, I mean, they've fought the best of the best,
yes,
you know?
Right.
And then they're exciting and all this. It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. Certain times, UFC will push certain people, and then, I don't think they've really been, they don't seem to like Nick that much. They've never
gave him a
big push.
Little bad blood there.
Yeah, they don't really play the game of, kissing Dana's ass and, kissing those guys' ass. They're just who they are. They're not going to play that game, so the UFC don't put a big marketing push behind them. And they put a huge marketing push behind Conor. They pick certain people, like Conor, Ronda Rousey. They put that huge marketing push, and the people are good. But when you have that huge market machine saying they're the best and the best, a lot of the common fans will start being like, "Oh, this person's unbeatable." Mm. Imagine if they put the market machine behind Nick and Nate; they did behind them,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, fuck talking about those guys. I want to talk about you, because if anyone's experienced that, I would think you. I mean, the amount of big names that you've beaten in this sport. And the fact you're not even fighting for them anymore, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things. We never got along that good, so we never got the marketing push. And it was, kind of ridiculous. Beat their current champ, and then Damian Maia, the number one or two tank guy, right back to back. And then, lose a really close fight, and the two guys all juiced out, and they dropped my contract. One of those things. It's BS, but it is what it is. You can't stress over it. You just got to be like, hey, move on and keep winning fights.
Why do you think that was? Why do you think they stopped having you fight? I mean, you were one of my favorite fighters. I'm a grappler at heart. I've been doing it for a long time. I like watching you fight because you're very technical.
I think the UFC is just not real big on grappling, especially at that time period. They're trying to get rid of all the grapplers, and it's trying to make it about a show instead of the best martial artists. They're trying to get rid of some of the grapplers and use it as an excuse. Plus, I never kissed Dana's ass. He wants guys to come in and kiss his ass, and not really my style.
Yeah. How much of it do you see is like, it's kind of like resembles WWE? Like, there's sort of like a vibe there that they're going for this entertainment over fighters.
Definitely. They're definitely trying to push more of the entertainment aspect than the fight martial art. It is a tricky point. Hold on, grab my dog. He's running off. He's all over
sniffing
the place.
All
of
us.
Grab him.
Yeah.
He's okay as long as he doesn't chew some of Doug's...
Doesn't chew the expensive equipment.
Yeah.
I'll make him sit here for a minute since he's running all over the place looking like trouble.
Oh, no, it's cool. We let mine roam around here every once in a while when he comes in here, so it's all good.
Yeah, okay.
So, go ahead.
But I'll say it's a combination because obviously they got to make money and push it, but they got to keep the they got to keep it like realistic too and keep the art behind it.
Yeah.
I see there's a... Because I remember watching, Pride and some of these Japanese organizations, and the Japanese fans had a different understanding of the groundwork because, they have a long history of judo. Mm-hmm. And so whenever they'd hit the ground, the Japanese fans kind of would love to watch some of that stuff. You don't see that so much with American fans.
You do a little bit, definitely not as much. But some of those Japanese exchanges, you get a really technical exchange on the ground, and that's when you get the biggest applause often. So it's nice seeing that. And it's not, there's definitely U.S. fans that understand it, but as a whole, more of them want to see the wild punching. And, even the stand-up, they're not a lot of times looking for the most technical, best strikers. They're looking for guys that just come in there and zing them.
Yeah.
So UFC will highly encourage guys to, hey, go out there and get knocked out. Don't be the best fighter you can be. Just go out there and do it. Like even GSP, one of the greatest of all time. I think Dana was always giving him shit, even though he sold pay-per-views. He just didn't, was always like grinding him, not happy with him.
Fucking love GSP.
Yeah, but that's a problem. He's one of the best fighters of all time, but Dana's like mad he didn't get a knockout and this and that. But it's when you're out there fighting the best and the best, you can't always it's nice to be flashy. I love getting finishes too, but when you're fighting the best of the best, you look at my resume.
Yeah,
maybe I got some of these guys, oh, I didn't finish them, but then you actually look who I fought. So it's easy getting a ton of finishes if you're fighting a bunch of chumps, but
right?
when you're fighting the best of the best, it's tougher.
It's true.
It's about winning at that
Yeah, and UFC 2, they'll give certain guys a bunch of like easier fights. So then, of course, you can go out there and look more exciting when you're fighting guys that are, you know, not top 10. But when you fight, you know, five top 10 guys in a row, it's going to be a lot harder looking flashy against them.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, it's so political.
Now, I see that you have a tattoo on your arm there. It says American Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between American Jiu-Jitsu and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu? Is there a difference?
Yeah, there's a small difference. To me, it's first off, never really trained with a gi, so the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is always with a gi.
So it's always no gi.
Yeah, I put a gi on every now and again, but I'm definitely a no gi style, and it's more the Jiu-Jitsu for MMA. It's the aggressive style, attack, go after things, try to finish, not the patient waiting of a particular Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's basically Jiu-Jitsu for MMA, and then really mixing the wrestling in too, because I come from a wrestling background where it's constantly attacking and pressure. So you know, kind of fusing the two styles together.
You know what it sounds like to me? Catch wrestling a little bit.
Yeah, a lot, yeah. It's a lot like that, but it's just, that's what I kind of said. But a little more, it is a lot of varieties of catch wrestling, but also a little more of the jiu-jitsu aspect. Catch mm-hmm. wrestling is a little more holes in it with not quite as tight as a game.
Yeah. Well, now, when you started jiu-jitsu, where did you start training?
Originally with Chuck Liddell, San Luis Obispo.
Oh, you're kidding me.
So nice. I was with him for about a year and a half. Then I transferred up to Cesar Gracie's up here in San Francisco.
All right. So you started in the gi.
I started. Well, we actually weren't really doing gi at the time. It was kind of weird. Everyone assumes, you know, I do the gi because Cesar Gracie, because when I came up there, they were really... the guys really wanted to focus on fighting. So a lot of the guys had trained in the gi, but they were all taking the gi off. So mm-hmm. it was like that's when Nick Diaz just started. This guy David Terrell, who's an absolute killer, was there. Gil Castillo, who also fought for the UFC title.
Oh, yeah,
it was
yeah.
all the old school, like, these. I was like the young kid there, and all these guys were established badasses, but they were all wanting to train no gi at that time. So I just kind of jumped into the fight training.
Yeah, I think... I competed in jiu-jitsu, and I haven't trained, though, for about 6 or 7 years. And I watch jiu-jitsu all the time. I watch competitive matches all the time. The way it's morphed in that short period of time mm-hmm. blows me away. The matches now, you're seeing a lot of these like positions, like 50-50 and mm-hmm. all these different. And it seems, I hate to say it, but it's like it's not... It's gotten really bad for spectators, I think, mm-hmm. to watch. I mean, what do you think about some of those, you know, competitive jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, I think, well, it's actually going through a transition right now. I think, a lot of that 50-50 stuff's not that exciting, especially if there's no heel hooks, and a lot of the IBJJF stuff. The problem is you get too many guys where they're just trying to win off points. They get an advantage, and they just stall. But there's kind of the new cycle of jiu-jitsu matches coming in are actually pretty exciting, like the EBI and this Fight to Pro one. I just did one with Machida.
I saw that. Win by heel hook.
Yeah, and the rules are encouraging more for going for submissions because some have slightly different rules, but lots of them are like submission only or they're not scoring points, so you can't just get ahead and stall. Or EBI, they do at the end, you know, they try to choke each other out by starting arm bars, or if no one gets a submission, you start on the back or arm bar position. So it's forcing guys to hunt for submissions instead of points, and it's making it more exciting again.
Wow. Oh, that's
cool.
Winning by heel hook, that must have been pretty
intense. I've been working a lot of the heel hook game now. It's kind of sports always going through evolution. You got to keep up. And I think the current evolution for the no-gi jiu-jitsu is people are pushing heel hooks like crazy.
I'm seeing a lot of matches being won by, mm-hmm. by heel hooks. I've seen some matches being won by some of these off submissions too, like the Twister and somebody's banana mm-hmm. split and weird.
Yeah,
you know, kind of weird.
Yeah, the sport's always changing. You got to keep up. You know, people are always trying new things, so you got to kind of keep up with what's going on.
And you've been a part of it for such a long time. You've watched it mm-hmm. really evolve.
I would say you're probably one of the OGs. I mean, you've been around for quite a while.
Man, I've been. I think I first started like '99, so it's kind of crazy to see the sport just completely transition. Yeah. It's cool to watch all the changes it's gone through, both jiu-jitsu and MMA. You know, it was. I mean, back when I first started training, it was like you'd run into a purple belt somewhere, and you're like, oh. Wow, this guy's like badass. But now there's black belts everywhere. So it's crazy, the transitions.
Now, being somebody who's been a part of it for that long, what are some of the things that you're liking how it's evolving, and what are some of the things you don't like that you see it's evolving?
Well, with MMA, you know, I used to love just how raw it was. Everyone that fought just really wanted to fight. There was no fame, no money. They went out there because they just wanted to fight. So it was all about just toughness. No one really caring about politics. They just wanted to fight. But then at the same time, that's what I don't like about it. No money and no fame. so it's so much better now when you can get paid and get a little bit of fame. But it's what I love and don't, I guess, is the same thing. Yeah. But it just brings in people that are in it for the wrong reasons. They're just not because they really want to fight. They're not that tough. They're just trying to get on TV. Mm. You see a lot of these guys, you know, their whole goal is to get to the UFC. They're not like trying to be the champ. They're not doing it for themselves. They just want to get a quick little splash of fame and think they're going to make money. And that's the negative side. And I guess all the politics, the way they try to push it, dealing with all that bullshit.
So what do you think about the show The Ultimate Fighter? Are you a fan, not a fan? What do you think of that?
I think it's great for the sport. I'm personally not a fan. I don't really care for watching it. I think I watched the first season and then the season where Nate Diaz won. And other than that, it's just not really my thing, the reality TV. I prefer watching the actual fights. But yeah. I think anything that pushes the sport, I mean, especially the first season, really helped blow it up. So overall,
that made a huge difference. Yeah. I remember the first that first season took UFC from to basically to where it is now.
Yeah. So it's great. Even though I personally don't, I mean, I don't watch that much TV. Actually, I helped assistant coach in two of the seasons. Didn't even watch those.
Oh, that's funny.
I helped with Chuck Liddell. Was 185. I forget what number it was, but it was 85s. And I helped Gil Melendez with the 115-pound girls.
Nice. Who's? So, go ahead.
I've watched all of them, and I really because some great fighters come out of there.
Oh yeah.
I just don't like.
He's
all
into
the
drama.
I don't like the. No, I don't like. I don't like the drama they put in there. I don't like. You could tell the stuff that's staged. You could tell when you put two fighters that love the sport, care about the sport. That's all they give a shit about, and they're being coached to talk shit to each other. It's so obvious to me. I think
they do coach the shit talking, but the rest of it, they don't try staging anything. That's a good thing about the show. They actually don't try setting up too many bullshit situations. They kind of just let it be.
That's what I was wondering.
I think
they're just
try,
like, here's a bunch of alcohol.
Yeah, they try to get when they interview them, though, that's probably where they feed the shit talking.
Now here's Snooki.
They'll be like, oh, the guy you're fighting, he said this about you. What do you think about that? So they do try to instigate the shit talking, but the rest of it, they kind of just let things be, which is nice.
Oh, that's good.
So let's talk a little bit about because you've been in the fight game for so long. Who are some of the best fighters you've ever been against or challenging fighters you've been against?
Oh, guys I fought?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I fought so many good guys. It's tough, you know, with, like, GSP is probably the best, you know.
That was an epic setting, too, right?
Yeah, but then guys like Hector Lombard, Tyrone Woodley, Robbie Lawler, Damian Maya, Carlos Condon. I fought, like, the whole, you know, who's who of MMA.
Pretty much everybody.
Yeah, I mean, look at my record today. I'm like, damn, even the guys that, like, weren't big were still, like, had, you know, great. No ones. They still had great winning records or still, you know, still fought in the UFC. Like,
current even champs. And
yeah, like, yeah. Even, like, the nobodies are still, like, tough. I never got that padded record.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Hardest punchers?
I mean, Dan Henderson, Hector Lombard, probably. I mean, Tyrone Woodley, right, I guess, hand. Too. Yeah, I fought a lot of these power punchers.
You trained with Chuck Liddell. He's known as being dropping a hammer.
He is fucking hard. I mean, just sparring him a couple times, I'll hit you like a body shot. I mean, luckily he wasn't like trying knocking me out or anything, but he caught me a couple good body shots, and you're just like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Is that something someone's kind of, I mean, I knew you could train that, but I feel like some people just got it in them where they just
that kind of power?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely like, it's like half natural, half learned. I mean, there's guys like that, they just naturally hit hard.
Because I know you train a lot with the Diaz brothers, watching them, now I know they hit hard. They knock people out. Their accuracy is ridiculous. But their punches don't look hard for some reason. I've heard people even say, like, oh, they don't look like they punch hard. Yet they knock people the fuck out.
Yeah, it's the way you snap the punches. There's different types of power. They got good, like, snaps. So, it, like, the way it pops your head, it can really hurt.
Yeah,
so
and they're accurate.
So it's not like it's not like the guys like Tyrone Woodley where they're just so explosive and just like, boom. But exactly, they're accurate. They're little, like, snappy punches. And then they throw out the combo. So sometimes it might be light, hard. Light, hard, hard. They're, like, mixing they mix the tempo. So you can be like, not too bad. They're pop, one will pop you.
And then, of course, they can take a punch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They keep coming. They're fun guys to spar, or not fun. I'm not sure.
Yeah. of all your victories, what was the most rewarding for you?
Couple of them, but I mean, the first hat to Sakurai, which is, he's not really a big name anymore, but when I beat him, he was ranked number 2 in the world in Japan. I was completely unranked. I was going there. They brought me in as the guy American to lose on like 2 weeks' notice. And that was just huge, you know, going out there and, you know, showing that I can compete with the top guys in the world when I was so young, first time leaving the country and all that. So
how old were you at the time?
Probably like maybe 23. I've been fighting a couple of years, first time ever leaving the country, going to Japan. That was really exciting. And then, I mean, of course, Dan Henderson, that was a huge fight.
Yeah. You always got to be, mentors? You had any mentors in the sport coming up?
Yeah, I think I looked up Chuck Liddell a lot because he's the guy I started under, and then watching him be so successful and then staying so humble. That guy hit like some, I mean, the guys like me are like minor fame. His fame was crazy.
Oh,
I mean, he still is famous, but like his fame for a minute was just insane. So to watch him stay just as humble and not, you know, obviously he ran into some problems, you know, like when you have that kind of fame, it gets crazy, but seeing him stay the humble person than he was pretty cool.
Mm. Wow. So now when you had your school up in the city for a little while and you were training there, I always wondered this, like, you know, you're walking around, people know you, you're a fighter, you know you fight on TV, you're how tall are you, how much do you weigh?
Like
right
six
now
feet, about 185.
So you're like an average shape guy, mm-hmm. average size guy. Now, I know what fighters look like, and looking at you yeah. from across the street, I would know, like, not going to fuck with that guy. But did people ever come in and challenge you in your school? Just people were like, hey, you know what?
No, I think I can take you. Luckily not, you know. a long time ago, I think we had a few people come in for, like, challenge fights, like, back when it first came to Caesars. The times were a little different back then. Guys would come in trying to fight. But now, I think guys know, because the guys that would do that are the bullies, and bullies, they're smart enough to know who to fuck with. Because prize number always ask, I'll ever pick a fight with you, and I've never had anyone come up and try to challenge me. I think those guys just know they don't want to come up and challenge someone and get beat up, and they know what's going to happen. They might tell their friends, like, behind your back, oh yeah, I'd kick his ass. They're not going to actually come up and talk shit to someone and kick their ass.
It always surprises me when I see, because we're in the fitness world, so, you know, we've talked to bodybuilders and, you know, dudes that are big guys, real strong. Yeah. And I can't believe how many times a lot of them will be like, yeah, you know, he's pretty good, but I outweigh him by like 70 pounds, so I could totally, I know I could kind of hold my own. And I'm just like, I tell them every time, like, no, you literally can't. Like,
yeah, they don't realize that they get tired really fast. They don't know the techniques.
They don't have skill.
Yeah, not those guys. I'm sure those guys would beat up most people. They are so strong, and they'll chuck people around. But it's a different story when it's like, you know, we train. This is our job. We train full time. Some people don't realize the difference that makes.
I've seen girls, and this is grappling only, but I've seen female, you know, jiu-jitsu black belts with a, you know, a brand new white belt guy and just fucking tool him.
Yeah,
you know,
I've seen Rhonda like beating up like blue and purple belt guys.
Oh, shit.
You're like, well, that sucks. Awesome.
Have you gone against her?
I actually haven't trained with her, but I watched her train and she looked tough.
Yeah, I'd like to put on a gi and just have her throw me.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt she's tough.
Yeah.
But you see guys that's going as hard as they can, just like trying to battle her. It's because usually girls, you know, guys are decent at least. They're going a little light, just kind of playing around, but you see it's having to fully fight her.
Yeah, fuck that. So let's talk about nutrition for a little bit. You know, we know how people eat in our world, fitness and whatever. MMA, what do the diets look like? And yours is a little different. You're one of the outliers.
I'm a vegetarian. It's a little different. I think there are a decent amount of vegetarians in the sport, actually. I mean,
it's starting to come out.
Nick and Nate Diaz are pretty much vegans. I think they eat a tiny bit of fish every now and again. But it's I'm not vegan, so I eat eggs to get the protein and beans and stuff. But it's really not that strict, though. I just try to – my thing is trying not to put a lot of processed foods, trying not to have a bunch of – I try to figure as long as I take the majority of my calories through good, like, natural food. So I don't have an exact diet. Just, you know, you can kind of feel how your body feels when you eat and just kind of follow it from there.
Have you been a vegetarian for a long time?
I've actually grown up vegetarian, so for me it's easy. So I've never eaten meat, so for me, my body's totally used to it. So people ask me advice about becoming vegetarian. I always tell them to, like, well, I guess you can do cold turkey, but sometimes it's better to ease into it. Like, if your body's feeling like it needs meat, maybe eat it occasionally. To get those cravings, because if you're not getting enough, because if my body's feeling a craving, I know, okay, I feel like I need some protein, I'll go eat some eggs or beans or get a protein shake. But some people might not necessarily know how to feel that. So it's like, especially if you're an athlete and you're trying to quit cold turkey, maybe have fish or chicken like twice a week and then slowly phase it out.
No, that's great advice. It's the same advice that we give somebody that's trying to go through that process, is that your body will go into shock at first. It's just not used to it.
And if you're feeling like you need it, that's what a lot of people that quit eating meat, they tell me they have a hard time, like maybe the first month or something, they'll still be feeling weak. Then a lot of times they feel better, but it's like, well, hey, if you're feeling really weak, maybe you should listen and go eat a little bit. Don't go pig out and meat and have it all the time, but maybe you should eat a little bit. So, because me, it's easy. Having never eat it, my body doesn't get those cravings.
Now, did Nick and Nate, they weren't vegetarian or vegan before?
No, yeah, I think Nick has been for a long time. He kind of switched over on his own.
Was that through your influence, just through meeting with you?
I think he kind of did it on his own. I think probably seeing I was vegetarian probably helped him think that I could do that. But he started reading a lot about nutrition, and he's actually more strict than me on his diet. You know, gluten-free, I'm not gluten-free or anything. Mm-hmm. He's very strict.
And benefits? Do they notice any benefits from doing that? Or
better cardio? Yeah, really? I mean, I haven't eaten both, so I can't honestly say, oh, I feel way better without meat. But most people that stop eating it say, majority of them say they feel better cardio, cleaner. The only thing I have, a few people say they feel weaker, but that's generally in the beginning. And then once they figure out the eating, they say they feel great. It's sometimes when people first switch their body, they have a little trouble adjusting.
Wow. And now these days, you're training wise, how often do you train? Is it still pretty often?
Yeah, I train like twice a day.
Wow.
Yeah,
really?
Once in the morning, once in the afternoon.
For what, a couple hours?
Yeah, about 2 hours a session.
Holy shit, so that's 4 hours. I mean, you just got off a fight with Machida, so you're still in that training mode. Do you ever take time off?
I do, but not long time off. I take like a week off. I think it's important to stay in shape year round, especially I'm a little bit older now. I think that's the key to kind of to having those longer careers, never letting your body go, you know, because staying in shape is not that bad, but getting back in shape's miserable.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about some of the things you do to keep yourself healthy for this long. Obviously, you're not some young spring chicken anymore. Do you utilize cryo, things like that? What's some of your regimens to stay healthy?
I actually don't really. I think a lot of it's just, you know, trying to eat good. You know, you work out all the time, so I stay in shape. And I mean, I think sleep's important too. You know, trying to make sure not to neglect the sleep too much.
Yeah. What about like anything like massage or stretch?
I do occasionally, but not all the time. Yeah. I do on and off. You know, I like getting massages during camps if I can fit them in, but sometimes I get like so busy and neglect them.
Yeah, I think what you'll see with athletes who've been in the sport for a very, very long time is you'll see the ones that where health was kind of always a priority to them versus, you know, people who would get fit for a fight and then get out of shape and don't really last as long.
Yeah, know? I think staying in shape's the biggest factor. I think a lot of the guys that are, you know, fighting older and not having success kind of stay in shape year round.
Yeah. What about how's your joints?
Yeah, not bad, you know.
Wow, that's excellent.
Yeah, part of it, I mean, I think the diet probably helps. I don't know for sure, having not eaten another way, but I think the diet helps my body stay in shape and recover faster.
It has to. Mm-hmm. Do you incorporate weight training?
Yeah, I do. I lift probably about twice a week.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, I like to lift. I think it helps. If I start, that's the thing. If I'm not lifting, sometimes I start losing weight and getting a little too light, and then I start feeling a difference. So.
What is your resistance training regime?
Yeah,
what does
that look like?
Yeah, I don't have an exact routine, but you know, I try to hit the deadlift. You know, hit a few cleans, some squats. Some bench, basically pretty basic. I'll switch it up occasionally so it doesn't get totally stale, but I don't have anything super. Just the basic athletic lifting.
No, those are the good ones, though.
Exactly. You know, those are the main staple lifts, yeah. And then I'll throw other stuff. You know, sometimes I'll, you know, throw some plyos in and mix stuff up.
Nice.
I like, I don't always necessarily do this, it's so miserable, but I like going out and doing sprints, too. I feel really healthy and strong when I do that. It's just hard to, sometimes it's hard mentally to go out there and hit the track.
Oh, yeah.
It's miserable running sprints, but that makes you strong, too.
Do you enjoy cardio now that you've been doing it for so long? Or is it still
I don't enjoy cardio. It's always a pain in the ass. I enjoy jiu-jitsu, so I do most of my cardio that way. When it comes out in running, I don't get the people that love running. I don't hate it. I used to hate running. I've learned not to hate it, but I definitely still don't love it.
Yeah, I don't trust anybody that likes cardio.
Yeah, it's
there's
weird.
Some weird
guys,
people
I
out there,
love
though.
Running. You're like, what the fuck?
I don't understand you.
Yeah, how do you love running? That's just miserable.
All right, good. Then you're normal.
No, it's, I'm not that weird.
All right, cool.
So with the weight training, do you notice more carryover from certain lifts or certain ways of lifting? Like, okay, when I get stronger in the deadlift, I can totally tell when I'm...
Yeah,
you know,
I think deadlifts obviously are probably one of the best or one of the best. You know, the deadlifts, the squats... I like doing the benches and stuff too because it definitely helps. It's just, but I can feel a difference when I stop lifting. I just feel a little bit weaker, and it's, you know, guys can muscle you around a little bit. So I definitely feel a difference when I'm lifting and not. I mean, of course, it maybe slows you down a little bit, but overall, having that extra strength, especially in the wrestling, is where it helps the most on the takedowns because it's, I feel like in the stand-up doesn't help quite as much, and in the jiu-jitsu, not quite. It helps a little bit jiu-jitsu, but not quite as much. But in the wrestling is where I really feel it.
Yeah, that's where I noticed when it would be the throws. I felt like I could throw harder.
Exactly.
Or faster.
Sometimes the big strong guys kind of muscle me around a little bit if I'm not lifting. So then I'm like, so I'll have one of those days. So I'm gonna push me around a little bit. I'm like, fuck, I haven't been lifting enough. Yeah. I guess I got to go back to the gym.
Exactly. Now, looking forward, what's the future look like for you, both fighting and business-wise?
Yeah, most likely. Be fighting John Fitch at the World Series of Fighting.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we got the contract almost worked out. Yeah, so.
Now, is this submission?
This will be an actual fight.
Oh, MMA? Oh,
actually, I have a lot of offers for submission fights with these things blowing up. It's kind of cool how that the sports.
I'm very happy about that. I'm very happy.
It's an easier way to make money.
Well, it's easier, and plus, you know, I have two kids, and, you know, my son does judo at the moment, and I'd like to see there to be higher levels of competition with grappling because. Really, especially in America, you can go collegiate with wrestling, you can go Olympic and stuff like that. But to make a living doing it, or you know, to actually go even further, would be very difficult. And let's face it, it's safer, you know,
if you want to do punches it. In the face.
And it's great. I'm a little older. I still love fighting, but it's nice to get some of these in between fights. You know, just to stay active, stay in shape, give you something to train for, and then take a fight every now and again.
Now Fitch will be an interesting match because he's also got a very strong wrestling background.
Yeah, very strong. He's one of those all around guys. Good wrestling, good jiu-jitsu, good stand up. I think his jiu-jitsu is not as good as mine, obviously, but he's one of those tough. He's tough, you know. He's mentally tough too. It keeps coming, so he's not an easy fight.
And he's a local guy for us around here. Are you guys friends? Do you guys hang out?
Yeah, you know, I have a little bit. We've trained with some in the past. It's been a while though. He moved out to Vegas a couple years ago, so he's not out here at AK anymore.
I thought he was still here. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know he moved. I don't know, 2-3 years ago.
Oh, okay. So I used to see him all the time. Yeah. He's got the big lifted Toyota. Mm-hmm. I used to see him driving by my house all the time.
I actually met him a while ago. Let's see. This was back when, I don't know, is Mike Swick still in the area?
No, I think he moved as well. He's out in Thailand. He opened a gym in Phuket.
Okay. That's right. Love him, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know. All these guys are nice guys.
Super cool guy. Actually worked with him years ago in the fitness industry. Anyhow, when Swick was getting ready to fight Yushin Okami, he invited me down to roll with him because I'm a big guy, and so I went over there and I actually rolled with him and Fitch. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not nowhere near their level, but the intensity, because I had that up until that point, I had only grappled in jiu-jitsu schools and mm-hmm. judo schools. But the intensity at which...
The fight intensity is different, yeah.
Oh, it's just different. It's just, they're on your ass. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no... Like, in jiu-jitsu, like, you... Yeah, if you go intense even, but you're still kind of playing different games. Like, these guys were, like, on your fucking ass. And if they were going to be in a position that was stalemate, they were going to make sure to be on top, is what mm-hmm. I felt like. Yeah, especially with a wrestler,
you know,
like Fitch.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, you always want, in MMA, you always want to be on top. You never rest when you're on bottom. You know, you got to get that top position because those punches are coming in. It's, that's people realize they're used to that. That's why I say American Jiu-Jitsu, because, you know, that's mix that aggressive style in. Because in Jiu-Jitsu, it's usually like, relax, wait for the submissions to come. But in, you know, the MMA style, you want to be constantly grinding the guy, constant pressure. And
you're relaxing, like you might be catching elbows.
Yeah, a lot of times you come in there, these guys used to regular Jiu-Jitsu, all of a sudden they train with an MMA guy. They're like, oh man, this is fucking tiring.
It's just
a different pressure.
I'll never forget, like, they were just on me all the time. Mm-hmm. And I tried to play half guard, and it was like, why am I here? Like, I can't.
They'll start peppering you with little punches sometimes. Yeah. You're like, oh fuck, I don't want to rest. And sometimes too, MMA training will remind people, you know, start puffing little punches where they don't want to rest.
Yeah, and I remember I tried to get him in like the sweep that I get every freaking time, and he just pivoted his knee, puts his head on the ground to balance, and it's like, this fucker's not going anywhere.
Yeah, he's got great balance from all the wrestling.
That's the thing about wrestlers, is you don't want to, yeah, you very, very difficult
teaches,
to put them,
teaches great balance,
put
yeah.
them on their back. From a self-defense standpoint, do you think that there's some merit to training a little bit with the gi, to maybe, you know, being on the street with someone who's got clothes on?
Yeah, or? I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, you can get in a fight with a guy with jackets and a gi, and I think gi training's good. I prefer no gi, but I think doing a little bit's a good idea.
Yeah, I like the speed of no gi.
Yeah, me too. I prefer, you know, I'm a fast paced guy, so I like the high intensity, and the gi slows it down, so I get a little frustrated in it.
What are some of your go to like favorite submissions? I know you're getting good with the, you know, getting with the leg locks and
I've been doing a lot of leg locks, like the guillotine, rear naked, arm triangle, arm bars, like a lot of submissions.
Yeah, I'm not seeing a lot of Kimura locks lately. Is there a reason for that, or just people defending them well?
That's a good question. Guys are probably, it's a good lock, but then it's one of those ones people can also usually defend.
Yeah, because I used to see those quite a bit.
More
that
often,
was kind of my go-to.
Yeah, I think guys are just a little, their skills a little better, so they learn how to defend them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, looking forward business-wise, do you have anything in the works moving forward for your business? Anything, you know, social media-wise, anything you're trying to build?
You know, like I said, pushing the coffee company, we're doing really well there. We're really, really well there. My social media, just, you know, actually my social media got hacked like 2 weeks ago.
I heard about that.
Yeah, let's talk about
that. How did
that
work?
Some hacker somehow got into all my accounts, got into my email too. So he actually changed my Instagram account, and Instagram never, I didn't get that back because Instagram never would reply to my messages. Wrote him like 10 times.
No way.
Wait, they replied once or twice, but then it was like a robot that replied to me. I never got a human to contact me.
So is this person that hacked your Instagram get to keep it now?
Yeah, because
you're shitting.
No one on Instagram would reply back to me. So apparently it's his now. So I just started a new one. So I got stuck with about 1,500 followers. My damn, this sucks.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah. How many followers did you have on?
Yeah,
the
I had about 100, almost 100,000. So barely under 100,000. So it kinda
holy
sucks.
Shit! So damn someone it. Took it and now has all those followers.
Yeah. I think he ended up getting it shut down because everyone kept reporting it for abuse because he was on there putting stupid shit. But luckily I got my Facebook and my Twitter back.
Okay,
but yeah, these hackers, I guess it happens all the time. Once one got hacked, I kept hearing all kinds of other people get hacked all the time, I guess. It's just one of these things.
Well,
it's
especially when you get a bigger page, you're a bigger known person, right? They tend to target people mm-hmm. like you.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's mostly like teenagers and shit. They're just like bored, and they learn computers super early, and they find ways to get in.
God, that shit's crazy.
Yeah, I would say that whoever's hacked into Jake Shields' account has got balls of steel.
Fucker, I'll slap the shit out of him. I don't care if he's 12. He's getting slapped. Teaching some respect.
Jesus Christ.
Let's talk though a little bit about. I love when we get guys like you because I feel like you know, we don't get a chance to talk about business and what it's like, you know, starting off, you're not known, you're just getting into it, you're young. Then you see this transition now into this whole social media world. Like, what has that whole evolution been like for you, and what did you have to do, and what do you do right now?
It's, yeah, there's so many aspects. I think a lot of it is, you know, because you do got to focus on the training first, because if you're not winning fights, you're not going to get shit. But then learning how to market yourself, learning how to make connections. A lot of times the sponsors will be through connections you make, you know, if people like you or not. Sometimes guys are just thinking these companies are going to pay them a bunch of money, but it's like, yeah, if they don't like you, why are they gonna sponsor you? You know, if you don't go out and grab dinner with the guys that own the company occasionally, and, like, you know, and treat them with respect. Don't treat them like, oh, you owe me money. They're the ones paying you.
Yeah.
Some of these kids don't understand that. This is a business, and these guys decide who they want to sponsor. So don't be a prick. You know, go out and make connections. I mean, for me, it's easy because I'm being myself. I'm not trying to, like if I don't like someone, I'm not going to be able to work with them. I got to actually like someone, too, or I'm gonna be like, oh, fuck this.
But I think that's an important point to elaborate on, is that being authentic. You know, I think.
Yeah, because there's been companies, too, where the guy is just like a douchebag running, and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be able to work with this guy. Yeah. So you can't always, like, over chase money either. If it doesn't feel like a right fit, sometimes it's like not worth it. Maybe if you're like desperately broke, you can kiss ass for a minute, but it's but for me, you know, I got too much respect to do that.
That's how, this is how we landed Chimera. Was we waited, we had turned down god so many sponsorships because we all did other things before Mind Pump. Yeah. So we didn't need this to support us at the time, so we waited and waited until we found a company and somebody who runs the company and that we like.
They're cool people. That's why I started working with them. Like, yeah. We really hit it off. We met up. That's why we did the company together. We hit off. Like, I can work with these people. Like, I can't work with, if I don't get along with somebody, it ain't worth trying to fake it and work with them.
Yeah, no, that's
100%. No, we love the boys. They're really cool. Really, really cool. Really excited, too,
to see it's awesome.
From where we go from here, too, because we're barely getting started. We've only been with them for about 2 months now.
Did you go visit them in the Dominican Republic?
Yeah, I've been out there a couple of times. Checked out where we get the coffee.
Shit, awesome. We want to go there.
Dude. Yeah, I can check out with the coffee's grown. It's so cool out in the Dominican. You see, like, the fresh beans. I'm a huge coffee lover. That's why I got involved. Yeah. So it's great. Yeah, it's great to do something you actually care about.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it would be cool. It would be pretty cool if they flew us out there.
Now,
hey, it's nice out there. Yeah, it's cool island.
Hint. What other companies have you worked with anybody and then got rid of them? Have you had any instance like that? Like,
well, with sponsors here and there. Yeah, not actual companies that have been part of the business, but yeah, there's been sponsors. You have guys that have not paid you before, and there's all kinds of shit like that. But overall, things have mostly gone good.
Mm-hmm. When you're in the UFC too, like, how do you? What do you feel about the Reebok deals? What I'm getting at?
Oh, it's terrible. Oh, yes. It's terrible.
I just want to get to this. Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up.
So break that down because some of our listeners might not be fully aware of what happened with all that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what happened, but Reebok, basically, the UFC made a deal with Reebok. So Reebok can be the fighter's only sponsor, but they pay him like, I don't know the exact payouts are, but they're terrible. It starts it starts at like $5,000 for like the new guys, depending on what fight you have. So you could be a big name, maybe you came from a different show and you're a big name, and you're still stuck with the $5,000. Wow. I think up to like 20. I think the top guys, like the champs, think only make maybe like $25,000 a fight or something. And it is terrible. And it's, I mean, obviously depending on what we're making as fighters before, depending on a lot of how good you were at getting sponsors. But it was common to, you know, for me to make $100,000 a fight
from just sponsors.
Yeah, and wearing, you know, a shirt, right?
An extra $100,000, sometimes even more, especially if you're a champ or something. So to go in, you know, make $100,000. Now the UFC wants to, I think they start at $2,500 actually, not $5,000. Oh, now they want to pay you like $2,500 or $5,000
for a fight.
Yeah,
for something that you may do what, twice or three times a year?
Exactly, because they're already underpaying their fighters. So that was a way a lot of us make extra money through the sponsorships.
Right.
Because I mean, there's a few fighters making really good money in there, but as a whole, a lot of the guys are just getting by, and they're trying to. That's why, you know, you're scraping up trying to get sponsorship money too. And then you have the UFC taking that away. It's caused a lot of animosity. You guess we get a lot of guys wanting to leave the UFC.
Yeah,
trying to switch over to Bellator and World Series of Fighting and stuff.
We listen to Fighter and the Kid podcast. Brennan Schaub talks a lot about this.
Yeah,
and so
right.
I've been excited to talk to you because I wanted to hear from a fighter,
right.
You know, and hear their perspective and what they thought about it. So. Wow, that's that shitty. That's really bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And so you can't.
None of the fighters are happy with it. Like, all the guys I know are making a lot more than they're currently getting paid.
So that would. So let's say I'm a fighter for the UFC. Yeah, Reebok is my sponsor. I can't on the side be sponsored by Gatorade or
you could if it's not in the cage. So you there's a few guys like these really big guys sometimes can get like deals like outside the cage. You know, I think like Ronda might have some deals with some of these companies, but you can't wear them in the cage.
Hmm.
And not only that, they'll find guys for the stupidest shit. I think Nate got a fine for like me and him at weigh-ins. I was going to the weigh-ins with him, and we wore like they have these stupid looking fucking pants to pull over that didn't fit us right. So I think we walked out we either walked both out with our jeans, or one of us might have had regular tennis shoes on. I forget what it was, and he got a fine. I don't know. I'm not sure where they fined him, but they probably fined him like $1,000 or more out of the shitty money they were paying. But we still had like the hat, the shirt. I forget what it was. One of us had. I think one of us had the shoes, one of us had the jeans because the shit just didn't fit right. And then the fucker, he gets fined. You know, I don't even know exactly what he got fined. I just remember reading about it. I'm like, man, that's fucked up.
Stupid,
on top of underpaying you, they're gonna fine you.
I know, that's terrible.
Yeah. And you're putting your life on the line every time you go out there and fight. I mean, yeah,
exactly.
You're
those are the people you should be taking care of. I mean,
yeah,
they give you
gear that sucks too, like these shoes. Like, they give you running shoes. I just grab them and throw them away after them. I can't run those things. I tried running in them, like, my fucking feet hurt. Like, at least like spend some money and get us some better gear.
Right.
They get like that. I mean, Reebok must make some higher quality gear, but they give us like the lowest quality.
Oh, that's terrible. Because it's all for marketing. That's all they care.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. You have these shoes. Your feet are all like sore walking out there. Like, man, this sucks.
Well, I mean,
I thought
when the UFC first started, I used to love. I mean, I remember when the brand Affliction exploded because of that. Mm-hmm. You'd see different.
Yeah, it's cooler looking.
Yeah, it was so cool to see different camps come out.
And you see all these different.
Yeah, you see these different brands come out, and you're like, oh, that's cool. It kind of represents that camp. Like,
yeah, the Tap Out. Yeah. It just made all these different brands. Exactly. And there was good money in that for a while for all the sponsorships involved.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah,
just took it out.
Now everybody's wearing this ugly ass triangle fucking Reebok. It's ugly.
Yeah, and they've just had so many problems. It's like when they released the clothes, they had a bunch of the names were spelled wrong on there, and they just had so many mess ups.
Oh, yeah, if it's just because,
dude, how angry are you? You're a fighter. You're getting ready to walk out. They fucking give you your shirt. Your name spelled fucking wrong. On
Well, Gilbert Melendez, one of my training partners, his shirt was it said like Gibbert.
Dude, son of a bitch.
I'd be pissed.
It's like, yeah, there's no, like, no one was, like, double checking the stuff.
Wow. And everybody just feels held hostage by Dana White or the company, right? I mean, that's just.
Yeah, Dana's not all bad. He's done some good things for the sport. I mean, at least he's passionate, works hard, but he's a dictator and he can be a prick about things, and they're not very fair with how they hand out the money.
Yeah, I think it's because, I mean, the UFC for a long time was basically one of the only shows in town. I mean, mm-hmm. Pride competed and then they took over that, and it was like, we can
Strike
do what we
Force
want.
Got big. They bought Strike Force. When they get competition, that's what they do. They buy it just to kill it.
Yeah, uh-huh. And then it kind of, you know.
They realize it's cheaper than buying the competition and killing it to get rid of the bidding wars.
Yeah, and it monopolizes the sport. And so then these fighters have kind of no choice but to
Do you see them
these rules.
Continuing to do that, or do you think there'll be competition in the sport, or do you think they're going to monopolize it forever?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, they're going to try to keep it monopolized forever, but it's hard to say, you know, if they'll be able to.
Yeah. One thing I will say about the UFC that I've always commended is they're pretty open about and they publicly will talk about their athletes that fail drug tests.
Yeah.
Which other professional sports don't really do.
Yeah, no, they have really pushed the drug testing, which is surprising. Yeah. They brought in the whatever the organization is called that does really, really strict. I think they're the strictest drug testing out of any pro sport. Maybe, well, it's similar to like cycling, I think.
Yeah.
But football, basketball, baseball, I think theirs is all very, I don't know the details, but I'm pretty sure theirs is all very lenient. Yeah. They're not like actually trying to catch guys. They're just doing it.
You're not seeing anybody in the press, you know, coming from football.
I think they kind of
tried
burying it in the sports because, you know, I mean, it got baseball for a second. I think they were kind of testing because it became the hot thing, but you don't ever hear about football. They're probably the most juiced out ones. They kind of just leave it under the wrap.
Let's just not talk
about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Can you feel when athletes are, or can you tell a lot of times when you're training with somebody like, yeah, you're on some shit?
Often you can. It's hard to be 100%, but often, you know, when you fight someone like Hector Lombard, I fought him, it was like very, very clear the guy was juiced out of his mind, you know? Yeah. And then the next fight's when he gets popped. You're like, okay, that was pretty obvious. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about what it's like being a fighter and trying to have a relationship, dude. What's your can we get into that a little bit?
Yeah, it definitely can be tough. I mean, actually, now I do have a girlfriend, but it can be tough with all the traveling, and it does.
Yeah,
make
but they
it,
must be throwing tang at
it,
you left.
Yeah,
and right.
It does make it a lot easier to get laid. So it's hard when you're traveling. There's constantly girls, you know.
Well, and you're a better looking guy compared. A lot of these guys are fucking ugly as shit, but you're not a bad looking guy.
So it took me a while to have a girlfriend. It was just too easy getting laid, so I had to take advantage of it for a while. I would have regretted it, you know, to get a little bit of fame and then not take advantage of it.
Good
it's
for
like,
you though.
Come on,
can't wait. Wasted.
Good for you though for admitting that. You know, it's where I feel more.
That's awesome.
The guy who gets married right away then becomes famous, and you're just like,
I would have hated myself.
Oh man,
don't Tiger Woods it, man.
Like, exactly. Because otherwise, exactly.
Have
you're,
fun
you're,
with it.
You're gonna break at some point if you do that and end up running around cheating. So it's better to get out of your system first.
So what type of girl that has to, do you have to have in order to date you? What does she have to be able to? I mean, I imagine she's got about. I didn't mean.
I
like
heard
that.
Stories. So I mean,
possibly.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. They gotta be, you know, chill, cool, and understand that your life is a little crazy. That you do travel, and then before the fight, you get, you know, you're gonna get a lot more stressed out, and you got to be chill those times. But you know, it's
Do you abstain from sex before a fight?
No, fuck that.
Yeah. That's total
myth. You're getting personal.
That's a myth.
Well, that's a myth. I mean, you hear about that, you know?
I think they used to always say that, but I think all the new tests are done. So I think it actually lowers your testosterone when you're not having sex. So now they're saying the opposite, that it's better to have sex.
Yeah, I would just be more angry, I think.
Exactly. I think I've tried it a few times, like a week or two, and you're like, fuck this. I'm breaking. Yeah. I'm just mad all the time.
If I lose, it's worth it.
It ain't worth it. What's the point of fighting?
So one last question I want to ask you about. Dirty fighters that you've had to fight against, guys that have done. Because there was one in particular I can remember.
I fought a few dirty fighters, actually. I've had a few guys rip their hands in my mouth. But by far the dirtiest was Paul Harris.
He's a routine dirty fighter.
Yeah, the worst part with him when I fought him is, you know, you think the referee would be watching him, and I'm in there fighting him, you know, taking him down, just beating him up, and he's taking his thumbs, just trying to put my eyes out, you know. So I take him out, I'm in mount, trying to punch him. He has his thumbs, not like just casually. I've had guys casually put their fingers in my eye, kind of like raking, which is annoying as fuck. But this guy has his thumbs literally trying to gouge my eyes out. My eyes are just bloodshot red. I'm yelling at the ref over and over, and he just keeps being like, "I'm gonna handle it, don't worry." Any other ref would have disqualified him right away and ended the fight, but this guy just kept digging my eyes out. It was insane.
And he didn't do anything to stop him.
Didn't do anything, you know. So he ended up losing the fight. Third round, went in there, couldn't see, broke mentally, just going in there, can't fucking see, frustrated, the ref wouldn't do anything. It was
so you had to react to that, right?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And then I ended up punching the guy afterwards, and they tried suspending me, ended up not getting suspended, but at first they were gonna suspend me over it. And I'm like, this motherfucker's like gouging my eyes the whole time.
Yeah. He was known for, you know, but yeah, he's done he, yeah, this to
was,
other
he
people.
He was kicked out of the UFC for cheating. He'd never done the eye gouging, but he was kicked out of the UFC for multiple holding submissions after a guy tapped, you know.
Yeah.
He was just, the guy is a clear sociopath.
Yeah, dirty shit. Especially
he's just not able to control himself. I don't know, something's not wired right with that guy.
Yeah, that's what I'll say. Well, hey, man. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, brother.
Great, man.
Yeah,
thanks a lot, guys.
Absolutely, yeah.
No, and I'm sure we're probably with
being a legend, man.
Yeah, with Chimera and stuff like that, we'll hopefully be doing this more often.
Yeah, for sure. Go back down.
Absolutely. Right, so now I can consider you like backup. So if someone wants to fight,
yeah, bro. We'll call
you. I'll come down. But hey, I need you in San Jose right now. All right, guys, on my way.
Good shit.
Choke somebody out.
We're building the squad.
Thanks, brother.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.